Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis, actually.
I'm here. You were ignoring me before, so I stormed in here and I said, I'm going to make my point known. I was talking about my TB12 jersey that has been returned to me. It was in your office. I saw it yesterday.
It was our office.
It was our office.
This is exactly what... I've been through two divorces. This is exactly what goes on.
Taking my stuff!
Yeah. Exactly. So we were holding on to it, you know, for safekeeping, knowing it was annoying you because you've moved across the street. You know,
it's like, when is he going to give me my stuff back? When is he going to give my stuff back?
I'd like to know the answer to this. Which one of you two kids gave her jersey
back?
Yeah,
how did it get back? Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Mom's back home. We got to be on our best behavior, Lord.
Right. Right. I want all my stuff back, by the way. Let's go through everything, okay?
All right. Jeff, cousin Jeff. Who's like,
You're putting it on him?
He's Switzerland in all of this. And for people who don't know, Anna and I were partners for many years.
Yes.
On the radio.
Right.
Let me clarify that.
And let me clarify that. And just recently, you left us to go do the 1-to-3 shift here on your own. And so we shared an office together. And so this is now what... This is just what's happened. Is it there are pieces of, you know, you probably have some of my silverware over
in
your office.
That may not be coming back. We have a very sparse office right now, so we might need some of that stuff on loaner right now, you know, because I'm the one who sort of left the office to the new home that didn't have much in it. So I need stuff.
Like some of the bottles from the Knarble wagon, maybe.
Right.
Well, mom's gone, so we've been eating takeout every night, and dad lets us stay up late, watch TV with him, and eat ice cream every single night.
I'm now dating somebody that has a motorcycle.
Oh, right.
We've kind of gone off the deep end
a little bit.
Yeah.
She has a tattoo she won't tell me about, too.
Dad!
There's something
going
weird.
To hell in a handbasket.
I know there's something very weird going on here with the kids. I can just tell they're very angry, and I've already called a therapist to see if I can get them a little group counseling. Sit around.
The holidays were hard.
We did run away to Mexico for a bit. That helped.
And we did get two Christmases though. That was fun.
Yeah,
Lauren.
Yeah, two Christmases.
Mom and Dad threw Christmas for both of us. So
showered
get
you with
presents.
Gifts. Yes. Right. Lots of guilt gifts. And, you know, it's great.
People who have been through this in their real lives, whether you went through a divorce or you were living with somebody and then they left. Or you left, or whatever it is. It's amazing. The one great tell is the silverware drawer, right? It's a flatware drawer.
Because
you open it up, and it's like a mix of things. And I can literally open it up, and I can go, oh, yeah, that was all right. And that was that. And that was there's like four different types of spoons.
Yeah, nothing matches.
Right.
There's like 10 butter knives, one fork.
Right. And some of the other, not your plates, not your normal everyday plates and bowls and stuff like that, but there were always like for the kids or whatever, there was that one misfit bowl that you got somewhere. And
the
then
plastic
for,
one.
For the, and then it's like, oh yeah, that's from, and it's almost like an archaeological dig in my house because you can go through and it's like the layers. The further down you go, it's like, oh, this is from 15 years ago.
The phases.
No. Yeah, no, this is from 3 years ago. This, you know, so whatever it is. So anyway.
Yeah, so I need some more stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the bottom.
And you're two doors down from us.
I know. That's why I was surprised that it took so long for my stuff to navigate because it was right there. It's okay.
Hey, by the way, one other thing that should be mentioned here. Tom Brady is not coming to the Bears.
Sorry, Anna. It's not going to happen.
I don't know how you can be so sure about that. I don't know.
I mean, like 95% sure.
You don't think that New England is going to kind of part ways with the Brady after this? Even New England fans are like going nuts because they didn't make the playoffs.
I know. Well, that's how spoiled they are. They didn't get past the wild card and they're that upset after winning 6 Super Bowls and 9 Super Bowl appearances. I just really just don't see. I think he's got one more year in New England.
But
he had a lengthy Instagram post just minutes ago.
I saw it. I've got a lot to prove.
I'm sure you've read it. Yes,
are you kidding? I have Google alerts.
Sure,
please.
You liked it.
I understand. But isn't there something to be said about that senior elite quarterback training that next generation that has really worked in a lot of systems?
You want to waste
your time
on that?
I want to make sure everybody hears that.
Yeah. I look, if I'm the Bears, like you mentioned the Rick Morrissey piece in the Sun Times, absolutely explore it if it's a possibility.
Who
talk
wouldn't?
To him?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? But I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to play. He's going to L.A. He's
That's what
play.
The rumor is.
He's going to play for the Chargers. Chargers are going to overpay him because they need to put butts in the
new
seats
stadium.
In their new stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're the second tenant in this brand new, the Kroenke Stadium that they're building out
totally
in Los Angeles.
There.
And so every weekend of football, preseason and regular season, there's going to be a football game there because they're alternating the Rams and the and the
Well, he's a superstar. He has a supermodel wife. I mean, it totally works in L.A., that whole story.
He can go shirtless. He can go into the surf.
Right.
You know, just like Bradley Cooper. All right. Wait, no, that was the garage. Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What happened in the skies and the roads?
For news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
I didn't hear Ben Bradley's name in that. I don't know how.
I was going to add it just to give him a tip of the cap.
Ben Bradley joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Satellite from Bradley Place. And that's the headquarters of WGN. Worldwide.
Thanks for explaining that 3 years after you started making that joke.
Thank you. I've been inspired now to
remind people. Specific.
Yes, I got to be specific.
And there's nothing better than explaining a joke. 3 years later,
an inside joke.
I'm going to send an apology card to everybody for the last 3 years for not explaining what that is. All right, but before I go any further, I must remind you that we do have more tickets to go see Roger Hodgson from Supertramp performing live at the Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds, New Buffalo, and that's going to be on the 22nd of February, and we've got tickets for that. Ooh. Don't forget, that's your entertainment destination right there. Or something like that. All right, Ben, I have many questions for you.
On many topics.
And yes.
So WGN is on Bradley Place, which is why when you say we're going to Ben Bradley at Bradley Place, that's the joke.
Okay, Ben. Don't drag this thing down. Let me ask you this. This Kim Fox, right?
Yes.
I'm like my mother now. She goes she always said that Obama, right? You know, there's like a thing.
Or when they don't like someone, they say right. How's the Sheila doing?
How's the Ohio State doing?
Easy. Ooh. Anyway, the point is this Kim Fox, who, you know, I'm still mad about it, the Jussie Smollett thing, and there's an advance on the story again today.
Yeah, hat tip to the Chicago Tribune, who just a little while ago broke the story that the special prosecutor who's looking into the entire Jussie Smollett saga, not just his claims that he was the victim of a racist attack, but also your friend Kim Fox's handling of it as state's attorney, word comes that there have been some warrants to Google seeking Jussie Smollett and his manager's Google account information. And we're not just talking about emails, but drafted and deleted messages, any files in their Google Drive, cloud storage, Google voice texts, calls, contents, web searching history, and location data. So the Tribune says it's unclear at this point whether Google has turned over that information, but I will say it's not unusual in a criminal case, you know, say, for example, a murder, for detectives and prosecutors to seek information, whether that's from a cell phone company or in this case, we don't know if he had a Google phone or what, but to seek location data from a phone to determine was this person in this location, et cetera.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty invasive colonoscopy of Jussie Smollett's Google relationship.
Yeah. Now, you know how Google has autofill? How do I plan a, and then H, hoax, right? Or
how do you tie a noose and how late is Subway open?
How much does a
and
MAGA hat cost?
The tuna sandwich.
Right, exactly.
Is that on the $6 foot-long menu or no?
What's right. Today's like $5 foot-long? What's that deal they usually have?
What's the daily special at Subway? Yeah. Oh, it's tuna day.
I would love to know his search history, both in the weeks leading up to it.
No. I don't think I want to know it.
After.
No, because my guess is that that any kind of ropes, handcuffs, things like that. He's probably been searching for those for a long time. I would like to ask you this question: is Kim Fox in some way? I just want to make myself feel better. Is Kim Fox the current Cook County State's Attorney? And did notice how I say current? Is it? Are they looking for communication between those parties, the agent and Jussie Smollett and her?
At this point, the Tribune are only reporting on that warrant going after the information from Jussie Smollett and his manager. Unclear whether, we do know there were a series of text messages exchanged that have already been turned over under the Freedom of Information Act, although some with heavy redactions, from Kim Fox and her inner circle talking about the case. I think, not to get dragged back into this story that has so many salacious angles, I think for Chicago voters, for Cook County voters, the most important thing to keep your eye on is that that deal that Smollett got that Kim Fox tried to claim was, you know, just the usual how we handle it.
Yeah.
And what went into that specific decision not to have him allocute, take responsibility, say, Your Honor, I'm accepting this deal because I did A, B, and C. That, to me, is, I think, the most interesting long-term impact of the Smollett story, is how he got that deal that very few others would.
That's an excellent question. And we'll just see if that gets answered by this special prosecutor, or this investigator. What are we...
Special prosecutor. It's Dan Webb, former federal prosecutor.
But they are calling the special prosecutor in this.
I believe so, yes. A judge appointed it, and the judge who appointed him is the same one who then approved these particular warrants. See, also comes word,
this would
by
be
the way,
moment for Jussie Smollett to go and reallocute himself. Now, the problem here is this two bites at the apple, though? Right? Is there double jeopardy at play here?
I don't really think anyone thinks that Jussie Smollett is going to, get somehow further, charged in this.
Can Kim Fox get charged in this? I'd like to know the answer to that. I'm not pushing for it. I'm just asking a question. Look how
she has a lot. No, what I'm thinking is that for all of the verbal beating that she's taken, in the months since this, the reality is she campaigned on prosecutorial discretion and saying, hey, we're not going to waste our office's time with low-level crimes, nonviolent crimes, etc.
And that's working out great, by the way. I just want to say, ask all the shop owners on Michigan Avenue how that's going.
But let's debate the issues on that, right? Exactly. We can talk about whether or not there's a revolving door for shoplifters and for people who are otherwise committing crimes that have real victims, though are not violent. Let's have that debate. Let's have the debate about whether or not Kim Fox's office was totally tone-deaf and missed the... if nothing else, symbolic importance on a huge heater case of having Smollett take responsibility. I think those are the issues that go to her effectiveness as an elected official. Not Jussie Smollett and his, did he do this because he wasn't getting offered enough money, or because his contract was up, or because somebody else, got ahead of him, or he was hoping for another. Like, I don't care about the Hollywood totter. Honestly, I didn't know who Jussie Smollett was until this happened. I care about what it says
about
the justice system and how it operates in Cook County.
All right. You see, here's the bottom line for the voters coming up here in just a couple of months, right? We're almost 2 months, a little over 2 months out from the primary, which is going to be...
And the primary is going to be the decider.
Right, because it's... Right. This is a very blue county. Right, as it turns out. But the question I have, because like you, I mean, it's tawdry and fun, the Jussie Smollett part of it. And you certainly would like Jussie Smollett's deception to be revealed here. Because as he went and, tried to besmirch Chicago, and that's why I think this is a different case. I understand this is a nonviolent, low-level case. It's a hoax case. The kinds of things that they invented diversion for, which is what they gave Jussie Smollett. But again, with diversion, you almost always get allocution, which is you admit that you did the thing, and then the judge lets you off, essentially. And with Jussie Smollett and what he did to Chicago by saying that it's a racist town and it's MAGA country and we're doing these guys went and they threw a noose around him. I mean, it was just remember the president came out in talking the first day. He came out and basically said, this is a terrible crime committed against Jussie Smollett and all of that. And the whole thing was made up.
Well, a lot of people did. Right.
Yeah.
And, that's the other aspect of this is pull the focus away from real victims.
But yeah, for sure. Right. And it's also a way of continuing to, Chicago really is the aggrieved party here. The reputation of Chicago in a lot of ways. And let us.
That's why we got pot, right?
Not forget that almost all of us who are lifers in this town, or the people who cover this for sure, we stopped, and there was this did not pass a smell test about coldest
Nobody
night of the year.
Craves Subway tuna after
right.
midnight.
That this is MAGA country downtown like that. I mean, it just the whole thing was just it just did not make a lot of sense, and they would have to know who he was. All bundled up on the coldest night of the year. Right?
Go, well, I ruled myself out because I had no idea who he was.
I got it. All right, Ben, we'll see you on the WGN TV News starting at 4 o'clock.
See you then.
Thank you. Goodbye. Well, we'll see him. He won't actually see us. You know how that
Google,
goes.
What's the $5 footlong of the day?
Aaron Gutierski from ABC News is going to join us right now. There's a couple of breaking stories. First of all, rockets are falling in Baghdad again, and we're inside the green zone, so we're keeping an eye on that, trying to figure out where that's coming from. And now they're being described, Aaron, as rockets as opposed to ballistic missiles, which were launched last night from Tehran. Rockets would be a short, generally the shorthand for a short-range projectile.
That's right, and I would. You'd be hard pressed to think that Iran was, you know, meaning, you know, the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps was actually launching attacks in Baghdad that would kind of attack their own allied government. But there are certain proxies, of course, and we're not sure how much control Iran really has over some of these proxy groups. You know, we know that they're allied with Iran, but you know, is Iran a puppet master or you know, do some people act on their own? So far, we're told two rockets landed in the green zone, but did no damage.
Can we talk about this plane that crashed last night in the middle of all of this? This is a plane, it's a Boeing 737. It was a Ukrainian registry. It's a Ukrainian national airline. And it was on its way to Ukraine from Tehran and crashed just minutes after takeoff. And there's some video, some grainy video of this. And it does appear from the video that the right engine was on fire prior to the crash.
And the Iranians, almost immediately after the crash, blamed some kind of a mechanical failure for causing that engine fire. The Ukrainians, at least initially, appeared to agree that that there was some kind of a mechanical problem. And then a couple of hours later, they retracted that statement and said they don't actually know, and there was no evidence of pilot error. Today, the Ukrainians said that the pilot had been, as recently as Monday, safety certified, and the plane itself had only been built in 2016, so it wasn't terribly old. And suspicion, you know, fell row on the atmosphere, right? Like this happened just hours after Iran's offensive mm-hmm. against U.S. forces in Iraq. Is it possible they fired some kind of a defensive missile, thinking that this was something it wasn't, and inadvertently brought down the plane?
So immediately that's thought of. Now, there is a way, though, that initial understanding of what happened could be real. Because in real time, there's telemetry that these aircraft throw up to a satellite. So you're able to see a lot of the, even on commercial apps, you can look and see how fast a plane is going, how any plane in the world that's in the air right now, you can get the basic telemetric information about altitude, speed, feet per minute that they're going up or they're going down, things like that. Then at Boeing and at the airline, the Ukrainian National Airline, theoretically, they would be able to also see more telemetry. The engines call home on those Boeing aircraft, and they send their information up, essentially. That's what they call it, calling home, a number of times a minute. So people know, you know, that, you know, that's a way that the mechanics can figure out, you know, if an engine is not running right, and when it lands somewhere, they'll address some sort of an issue. So they could, I mean, there is a way to know how internal that would be, but you're right. I mean, there's just, with the wackiness of last night, who could possibly speculate about this? And then think about the political ramifications too, right? You could have any form of individual here on either side of this, or then there's more than two, I think, sides of this, that would be interested in downing an aircraft. And the fact that it's Ukrainian on top of it, Aaron Gutierski from ABC, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's like when my wife woke up and heard the news, it was like a confluence of everything that's been talked about in the news. But we do have the data you're speaking of. We know from the flight profile that the airplane disappears at 7,900 feet. And that, of course, suggests that something catastrophic happened. Now, is it possible that was a mechanical failure? Sure. Would the Iranians know that 4 seconds after the crash? That seems unlikely. All Iranian military forces were on high alert at the time, perhaps scared that the U.S. was going to respond after the missile launches. Maybe, you could probably imagine a scenario where a defensive weapon was shot and something went horribly wrong to kill 176 people. However, the Iranians are not terribly keen on allowing, U.S. aviation personnel in to contribute to the investigation.
Right. They're not going to allow Boeing in, right? They have a crash team.
No.
They're not going to come in.
So far, we don't believe so, nor are they prepared to share the black box information with Boeing.
Right, which has been recovered.
The black boxes have been recovered, but there are only a handful of countries that have the technical expertise to really conduct these kinds of aviation investigations. We know the Canadians have offered help because there were 63 Canadians on board. Toronto to Tehran route via Kiev is a popular one. And we just heard from Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau that they have to have a serious conversation with Iran.
Got it. Aaron Katursky, ABC News. Thank you, my friend.
Good to hear you, Ro.
All right, Kathmandu. That's what we call him around here. Well, that's what I call him around here. All right, let me tell you this right before we get to the traffic and the weather with Lauren. Coming up, we're going to talk to Kirk Lippold. He was the former commander of the USS Cole, the Navy ship that was attacked by the Iranians 20 years ago. And it is an amazing story of that we'll get into the detail of. But what is his perspective on everything that we have seen develop here with Iran in the last 48, 72 hours, but even beyond that, where do we find ourselves? All of that coming your way right after Traffic Weather with Lauren. Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, Kirk Lippold is joining us. He's been with us before. He is the former commander of the USS Cole, which was attacked by forces that are... I'm going to let the commander talk to us about this because it's... There have been a lot of questions about who exactly it was over the years, and it initially was taken credit for by Al-Qaeda, right? Isn't that correct?
It is, and it has, in fact, been confirmed. It was an Al-Qaeda operation. It was initiated by a guy named al-Nashiri, who is currently in custody down in Guantanamo Bay, as well as Osama bin Laden. As a matter of fact, the attack on our A-Navy ship pulling into the port of Aden was discussed at that infamous Malaysia meeting where the final planning for 9/11 occurred.
So, and as part of the, because the Cole is rather infamous, right, in the world, to that it was a marked target at the time that it pulled in by these terrorist groups, and obviously any major American installation, as we're seeing now, what happened in at the two bases last night, would be targets of it. But the Cole has a, we'll get into that in a little bit. But the Cole has a specific reason that they were interested in that. But let's talk about the Iranian situation, because obviously, Commander, you were very overly familiar with what goes on in that region. And what was your initial reaction when you heard that ballistic missiles, not just rockets, ballistic missiles, were landing on U.S. bases?
The first thing I did is I thought, okay, well, game's on. And let's see what actually comes out of it for battle damage assessment as far as what it may have hit on the bases between Al-Asad Air Base and Erbil Air Base. But at the end of the day, it was more important to find out, were there any American casualties either killed or injured? Because that obviously is the red line with this president, that if you cross, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what country you're from. We are going to hold you accountable, and we are going to find you, and we're going to kill you.
So, at this point, do you think it's I want to be careful how I ask this question because there's a lot of politics to all of this now, right? I mean, everything's, everything's political, right, Commander? I mean, then there's reality, and then there's politics, and there's political reality. But I suppose to me, it's very curious that that number of ballistic missiles landed, and there was no loss of life or serious injury. So, what does that tell you?
Well, what it tells me is that I think this was a very calculated move for messaging reasons by the Iranian regime and the mullahs to make sure that they could fire those missiles and have them land. Obviously, the type of missile they were flying, it's a ballistic missile. It is launched from a what they call a TEL, which is a not a vertical launch, but it's more like a road mobile. You set it up, and it fires at about a 45, 50-degree angle. The range on these things is about 150 to 180 miles. It carries 150 to 180-pound warhead. And at the end of the day, it's high explosive is what they shot at us. It is accurate within about 100 meters or a little over 100 yards. So put a dot in the middle. And anywhere within about a 100-yard circle is where this missile is going to land. So when you look at, a lot of people are saying the accuracy of these missiles clearly indicates that they weren't trying to get us. But if you put a dot in the middle of the oil facilities that a similar missile hit in Saudi Arabia, anything could have been hit. When you look at the size of the airbase itself, I think that the Iranians clearly knew where the majority of U.S. forces were. They also knew where the majority of Iraqi forces were, and they specifically tried to target areas of the base that were close but not going to be lethal, because they knew that there would have been an overwhelming response had U.S. forces been killed or injured.
So this is political on their, in your opinion, Commander. This is political. This is about appealing to their base back in Tehran or in Iran.
Absolutely, because if you look at it, they're already lying to their people, saying that they killed around 80 Americans and wounded hundreds, when in fact we know that there were no Americans or Iraqis killed or injured. So it is clearly playing and manipulating the media for the sake of their population. It is messaging for them. They struck back at the great Satan. There was hard revenge, which they said was coming. They were checking all the blocks necessary to appear that they, in fact, avenged our precision military strike that took out the number one terrorist in the world.
Moving forward here, as you saw, the president went before the cameras earlier this morning, and he seemed to lower the temperature a little bit. I mean, he started by saying, listen, Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, but then he said we're keeping all of our options available, but the option he's choosing right now is increased sanctions, economic issues, economic sanctions that would be applied here. And that seems to be taking the military temperature down. Do you think that that's wise? Is that the way we need to go? Or is this the moment that all of this sort of has to come to a head militarily?
No, I don't think this is the right time for us to go ahead militarily and strike Iran. We're no in position. We the U.S. military is in no position to do that. Or as a nation, are we prepared to bite off more than we can chew? I think that what the president did was last night, clearly when you had the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the State, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when they all left, I think they were getting the initial battle damage assessments. They knew what had happened, and they decided, okay, it's like I said last night, this was a prime opportunity that rather than reacting and playing out of the Mullah's handbook, they're now playing out of ours, because we're the ones that made the decision not to continue the fight. We're the ones that chose to dial it back. In other words, now we control the game board. We're the ones that sit there and are calling the shots as to what we're going to do militarily. We gave everyone an opportunity to de-escalate or have what they call that off-ramp on the road to war. Mm. And I think at the end of the day, it served everyone's purposes to do that. We are not prepared right now as a country to go to war with Iran. That said, there is one big question out there, and that is Iran right now is continuing to pursue activities that are commensurate with gaining a nuclear weapon. And at the end of the day, they are now where North Korea was 15 years ago. North Korea is now on the cusp of having ballistic missile technology and nuclear warheads that can threaten the continental United States. We cannot allow Iran to have that. What are we willing to do? What are our allies willing to do? And what are we all willing to do as the world to prevent Iran from gaining that capability and threatening not only the Middle East, but Europe, and then eventually the United States? That hard question is going to have to be asked and answered, because we can't just pretend like it isn't going to happen.
As you look at this dynamic here, one of the things that we talked to Bob Baer, I'm sure you're familiar with him, formerly of the CIA, yesterday, and one of the issues that he brought up, and obviously, with, you know, as a former commander of the USS Cold during that bombing, Commander, you are familiar with all of the dynamics in the region and how important the sea traffic, the water traffic is to get oil through tankers, through the Straits of Hormuz and other places there that are always in conflict, and that, you know, the Iranians want to shut down, the Saudis want to keep open, and that, you know, all of that is clearly the strategic focus of what goes on here militarily. So my question is, as Bob Baer mentioned to us yesterday, one of the fears, one of the things that's on the decision tree at the Pentagon about this is the Iranians do have, and as you mentioned earlier, they have the capability of throwing these missiles at Saudi Arabia and taking their oil offline. And if they were to do that, that would create an economic crisis around the globe. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible, but at this point, I think it's improbable. There is really nothing driving the Iranian regime to have to do that. They would have nothing to gain by it other than that would unify the world against them. Right now, they're still banking on the fact that they still, to a certain degree, have the Europeans who are desperately trying to keep the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or Iran Nuclear Agreement, alive. And so they're not going to do anything that is going to turn the world against them. They're more than happy to continue to aggravate the United States, but they now understand the new dynamic when it comes to whether they should or should not kill Americans, because clearly there is going to be a response under this president. So, I mean, obviously the Navy has got more than adequate capability to keep the Strait of Hormuz open. We already have experience, albeit several decades ago, where we had the tanker wars, where we were ensuring that there was a free flow of all the tankers going in and out of the Middle East during the Iran-Iraq war. So we have experience there. We have other nations that are helping us. But here's one of the great things for the United States. When you look at the fact that we have been able to become energy independent, in other words, we no longer rely on that Middle East oil, that means it's not as much of a strategic imperative for us to have forces there to safeguard oil, other than we don't want to see the world's economy disrupted because right. of the effect it'll have on our economy.
Exactly.
So being energy independent is huge for us. And I think a lot of these people, while we want to go green, we're working toward that. We're never going to wean off of oil immediately, as much as they might like to.
Yeah.
But having that energy independence gave us tremendous flexibility in this case.
Commander, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. It's always an honor to talk to you. Commander Kirk Lippold, who was the commander of the USS Cole when it was attacked back in 2000 by Al-Qaeda. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And thank you to your listeners for supporting those young men and women who continue to serve and defend our nation.
Thank you, sir. I agree completely and wholeheartedly. All right. We have got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way right around the corner. And then stay tuned. I know I'm talking a little ahead here. We got Connor Murphy coming up, our private Black Hawk. He's going to be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. And then there will be a top five at five you won't believe. And this one I actually can guarantee. Census workers are out. That's right. Census workers are pounding the pavement right now. You're starting to get the census stuff in the mail, or they're going to show up at your door, and it's going to...
And they get a decent few bucks for doing that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about picking up a part-time gig doing it. Hey, how you doing? I'm a census worker.
I'm actually
you got a few minutes.
They don't have robots doing this just yet.
Kevin, they're going to assign you Englewood. It would be a lot of fun.
Hi, excuse me. I just need to know how many people are living in the house right now.
My name's Kevin.
I'm Kevin, and I'm here with the Census Bureau.
Listen, the city of Chicago is going to spend $2.7 million. That's basically a dollar for every person who lives in the city of Chicago to make sure that you get counted. Because this is a really important thing. I remember 20 years ago when they were doing the census for 2000, and there were a lot of people who were like, oh, I don't want the government to know that I'm here, and I'm not going to let anybody find out about me. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that argument or the problem with that attitude is that there's federal money and representation tied to this. We're already, the state of Illinois is likely already 99% possible we're going to lose one congressperson, right? One congressional district. So and they're all looking at each other right now like, it's going to be you, right? Who's it going to be?
Classic mass exodus out of Illinois.
Right. And then there's going to be the question of, you know, because the federal funding is based on basically a nose count, right? A head count.
Mm-hmm.
So that is important. The city of Chicago doesn't want to lose that. City of Chicago. It's interesting. The city of Chicago has lost population consistently for the last
decade, right?
Well, decades. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been basically losing, almost for 50 years, we've been losing a little bit of time because this used to be 3.2 million, and I think it's last estimate 2.6 something. Mm-hmm. And that's been a state of decline. However, what is interesting about it is that the demographics of the city have changed. The economics of the city have changed because the average income of Chicagoans has gone up in that period of time.
You sure?
Yes, for sure. And the percentage of education, you know, high school graduates, some college degree or postgraduate degree, that has gone through the roof as well. So it's getting smaller, but it's getting wealthier in some respects, and it's counterintuitive, but it's happening. But Chicago doesn't want to lose out, despite all of that. That Chicago would like to take some of the federal taxes that we send to Washington. We'd like to see come back here. And when we used to have politicians, and Dan Rostenkowski was the head of House Ways and Means, we got whatever we wanted. I think the Chicago Police Department at one point got a fighter jet because they get because
take a look, Tommy. We got an F-16. Start your pilot training now,
Tommy. Do you know anything about? I know you like to fly Cessnas. Here, this is for you. Go ahead. We're gonna fly it in out of MiGs. I'm telling you something right now. You fly low and slow. It's going to get people's attentions. I'm not kidding.
Flying around Chicago.
Now, I am not kidding. When Dan Rostenkowski, the longtime thick-fingered politician, that was a Chicagoan right there. He looked, he was like a lump of human, right? He just was one gigantic wrinkle. And he would come back, and he was starting to get in trouble because he was getting older, and he was cheating a little bit on the system in Washington, and then he got cranky in his old age, and so the Sun-Times was on him, and they were going after him for corruption and all the rest of the stuff. So what did he do? He literally got an army helicopter surplused to Chicago for the fire department. Still in the army livery, and the fire department's like, those guys too. Hey, Mikey, what are we going to do with this thing?
Want to give it a spin?
I'll never forget. They brought it out. They brought it to downtown, and he showed it off. Like, hey, look at what I'm doing for you. Look at what I'm bringing back. Look at what I'm doing here.
When's the next parade? We'll bring it out.
Right, exactly.
We'll fly over for the Bears game.
Right, but nobody knows how to fly it, so what we're going to do, we're just put it on a flatbed truck and drive it up and down the streets. It was a great moment, but it was like, hey, pay attention.
Amazing.
This is I just brought you this present. This is like a $60 million item right here. I just brought this to you. Like, it was like a Black Hawk helicopter or something. Like a missile launchers. It was crazy. So
anyways, the census.
Yeah, so the point is, if we want more of that.
If you want an F-16 fire jet.
For the Chicago Police Department. Or the Cook County Sheriff's Office. That'd be kind of fun. I'd like to see Tom Dart flying one of those things with a helmet where his head's too small for the big helmet.
He could pull it off.
Yeah. Sort of like Spaceballs. That's sort of what I've imagined him doing. I would like to see that. I think would be a lot of fun to get things like that. We deserve it.
Bottom line, the census matters, folks.
Right.
It's important.
So when somebody shows up at your door, now there's other scams are going on here too. You got to be careful, and there's ways that to protect yourself here.
Don't give your credit card to anybody.
Right. You can go to census.gov. I think it's census2020.gov, and you can look at it, and they will explain exactly what the people. They have to show identification and who they are and what, you know.
Well, I think you can also fill it out online this year. That's another huge thing. They will come to your door if you haven't.
Right.
But if you fill it out before a certain date online.
That's why I need Kevin to do this, because I need Kevin to go to the people who refuse to fill out the census and have him try to explain to them. Excuse me, I understand that you are a census scofflaw.
We all love our country, right?
Yes.
We love our country.
We'd like to get a fighter jet for the Chicago Police Department. Could you help us with that?
We're selling candy bars.
What's happening on the roadways and the skies? Take a look at my coming up in just a few minutes, your opportunity to rip us off for Roger Hodgson tickets. He's the guy from Supertramp. There were two guys from Supertramp. He's the other guy. He's actually the main guy.
He's that one.
He's the guy. Right. And there, he's doing the music of Supertramp at Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo.
I got an uncle who's a Supertramp junkie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you've never lived until you've seen a Supertramp concert.
Well, that's really true. And they also had one of the most successful live albums of the 1980s, Live in Paris, which was it's absolutely amazing. And these guys were, you know, in their moment. If you wanted, there was a whole, they were sort of like Pink Floyd, but poppy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of synth, a lot of, you know, very almost cinematic music. And they were just fantastic, and they are still, and they're back out on the road. And I'm told, because this show did come through here once already, and people who saw it said, if it comes to town, you got to see it. So we got tickets for that coming up in just a few minutes. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster, Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. All right, Ian Schur is with us from he's our tech guy. He's the most important tech guru that I could possibly imagine. He is the executive editor for the West Coast for CNET. And that's basically the Bible of technology. So you can't go wrong with that. Ian's joining us to talk about the Consumer Electronics Show, which has started in Las Vegas. And the thing about the Consumer Electronics Show, you never know what you're going to see, because this is the future. I remember, you know, like, remember the first time you saw the Honda robot that was going to be like, it was going to be your footman or your, I don't know, like your cleaning lady. And they were like, look at this, it'll do everything. And then it fell over. You saw that first at the Consumer Electronics Show. Either here, it used to be here in Chicago twice a year, and now it's in Las Vegas. Union problems. All right, Ian, let's know, what's the thing that's blowing your mind most at CES?
I think it's a rollable television. So this is something we actually have video on CNET, but it rolls up like a poster board and goes into a little box. And why I'm really fascinated by it is that there's this conversation happening in the tech industry about how all of these screens are everywhere in our lives, and they're all trying to sell us more of them. And here is an effort to say, okay, well, maybe there are times you don't want screens in your life, and I don't know about you, but I always think my TV's a little ugly when it's just sitting there as a black box in the middle of my living room.
How dare you say that?
So this is a way to get rid of it.
We work in the Associated Arts here. You remember the television is the most important. The television and the radio are the two most important things in your house, sir.
Yeah, in fact, bring it with you. Roll it up like your yoga mat. Just take it down the street.
Well, it's like a yoga mat, right? Isn't that what that's the whole idea? This goes in a tube, and then you just...
Yeah, essentially, it rolls up into a little tube, and then it's actually in a box, so you don't even have to have a yoga holder. But it's a really interesting idea. Now, the price tag's a little tough to swallow. It's $60,000. That's 60. That's a little too much.
Rose got that in his pocket right now.
But it is something I think it's a sign of what the future is going to be. I have no question that within the next 5 or 10 years, foldable and rollable screens are going to be very normal, and this is a sign of how it could be used.
You know, there's always some jag that people know who is the first guy to get it on the block. You know, he's Mr. First Guy. Yeah, I spent $60,000 on this TV, and the next year it's $600 at Best Buy. Maybe not the best investment. It is the minute. Loses money the minute you drive it off the lot. All right, what else do we have?
I think one of the other really interesting things out there is that there's a lot of talk about how wireless technology is going to get a lot better and how all of these voice assistants are going to get involved. So first off, you've heard of 5G before. It's supposed to be more than just another G. It's supposed to change how wireless works a lot faster, a lot more reliable. The industry hasn't done a very good job selling us all on it yet, so they're really trying this year. And one of the signs is that all these Alexas and these Google assistants and everything out, they're starting to get put into all sorts of devices. So there's actually one in a bathroom shower faucet. There's another in a toilet. I don't know why, but you could talk to Alexa while you're doing your business. And there's also one, you know, first alert fire alarm recognizer. So it's all that type of stuff is that they're really trying to make it better. And I think that that's interesting. I question the logic of putting it into your bathroom, but hey, it's a start.
I have a question,
probably
though.
One of the funniest little devices I've heard about in this topic of bathrooms,
yeah,
is that Charmin, right,
the people
who make toilet paper, are at the show showing off a robot that will bring you an emergency roll when you run out.
Oh, God. Like a drone. I like the idea of launching a drone in your house. It actually has toilet paper on a roll, and it just kind of hovers over you, and you go, I got it.
Brings it down like a ladder.
Hey,
exactly. Well, this one actually rolls on the ground, so it's a little dirtier, I think.
Oh, no.
I would rather it fly.
Oh, God. But, I am just, let me tell you something, Ian, I have a problem. You know, we've talked about this with you before about whether your smart speaker is listening to you, right? And because it turns out that there was data that actually has been transmitted, supposed to be anonymous, but it's data and somehow it gets pinned to your IP. So if you do start talking about UGG boots, the next thing you know, you got an UGG boots ad on your phone that pops up. And you're like, I never looked for that before, but now look what's going to happen. And people who are listening to the radio right now and their smart speakers are listening to this while we're doing it, they're probably going to get ads for that as well. But I do not feel safe being naked in front of my smart speaker anymore. I mean, because it's like, and the idea of it being in your shower, right? It just, it's almost like it knows too much. Right?
They do know too much. I agree with you there. In fact, Facebook thinks it knows your politics, even if you've never posted about it. We have instructions on CNET to find out what Facebook thinks your politics are, and you might be surprised. And I think that that's part of what's troubling a lot of this, and the tech industry really needs to answer it. You know, this week is usually the tech industry's big hype moment. They all talk about all the happy stuff. They try to ignore the sad stuff.
Yeah.
But I will note that this is one of the few times I've seen they actually had panels talking about privacy. They brought on Apple. They brought on Facebook. They brought on a couple of others, even the FTC. So there is, I think, a little bit of introspection going on. But this is definitely not the moment where the industry is like, oh, hold up, wait a minute. Let's see if people feel comfortable with this. They are just going balls to the wall, putting as much as they can out there and seeing what sticks.
The iCuddle is, I noticed this on your list, the iCuddle is a device that will actually clean the kitty litter out of
So that's a really, I mean, actually, you would be surprised. There are so many devices to clean kitty litter. And you learn this very quickly when you have a cat yourself. There's all sorts of stuff. Over the years, people have tried. So what this does is that it actually tries to scoop for you and put away the waste for you. They say that it's better for the environment and all that.
And
they're
health.
Not alone, by the way. There are a number of cat-related products at the show. And
of
I
course.
Think that it speaks to how one of the things about technology these days is that they can't just sell us a phone anymore, right? Like, we all have a phone if we want one.
Right.
It's all just glass on top of metal. Who cares?
Yeah.
So the next step is to convince us all to buy all these other smart devices. And they're trying to make everything in our phone, in our home, smart, right?
Right. And then and you have to have an app on your phone for that. And then the next thing, I was gifted.
You have a billion apps, yes.
Yeah, I was gifted one of those smart toilets. And honest to God, I'm afraid to go in because it knows when I'm in there. Like, it walks in and it opens up the lid and it winks at me. It's got like a light that winks at, like, hey, what do you want to do? One, two, what can I help you with today? You know, I go running out of there because the thing is like, I know too much.
You might want to go to the doctor.
Seat. That's pretty cool.
It does have a warm seat, but I think you can get that without having to know everything about you. And then right before, because I got about a minute left, not even a minute left yet. They have a device now, the CES, that you put on your dog, and it can tell you what your dog's emotions are. That, to me, seems like the mood ring. That seems like a scam.
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, look, they all claim to have science behind them, and, you know, we haven't reviewed it, seen it, so we can't tell you for sure. But, you know, honestly, there are a lot of things out there that are in the health world that people are trying to sell in the pet world. And I'm curious to see where it all goes. Yep. I don't know the science behind it myself personally, but, you know, look, if they can at least tell you whether your dog is anxious, or in my case, my cat will meow a lot and get really angry, but in fact, her heart rate is normal, so we know she's faking it.
those kinds of things
could be helpful, and that's stuff that technology could identify.
Ian, sure. CNET, thank you very much, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. We've got
Take care. News
coming from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Yeah, I got your super champ for you right here. You know I got Triple Tramp for you? Because I got tickets. And you could rip me off right now. If you're calling number 19, 312-981-7200. You can see Super Tramp, Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds, New Buffalo on Saturday, February 22nd. That's a 9 o'clock Eastern show. Because you got to remember, it's Eastern, Western, whatever. 8 o'clock Chicago time. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster, and Four Winds Casino.
Nailed the post. Still got it.
I think he stepped on it a little bit.
A pinch.
Yeah. I think he stepped on the lyrics. And, you know, that's Roger Hodgson right there.
You don't step on Roger Hodgson.
Roger Hodgson does not wish to be stepped on.
No.
That's extra for rock stars. That's what they like. Coming up, we got our own Private Blackhawk is going to join us, Connor Murphy.
The Murph?
He had an amazing save last night.
Had a good
right
game. He's been playing very well lately.
Yes. He's a guy who gives himself up on the ice. You know, I love that about him. But we'll tell him that when he gets here. We always have to butter him up, and then we start to make fun of him, and then the whole thing gets weird. Stay tuned, because he's one of the great young players. Bad news about Dylan Strom. That's another defenseman that went down. You know, defensive player that went down. It's not pretty. And that was a game that they stayed tight in last night. And I was.
It just got a little sloppy for a while. And when that happens, we tend to lose.
Yes. Well,
Lauren threatened to kill Ro and I for some reason after the loss because she was angry. So she takes her anger out on us, which is fine. We're a team.
Right.
Making me sound very violent.
As a family, we try to be, we try to support each other.
Yes. So I say, Lauren, if you want to take it on me, that's fine. And then she smacks me in the arm and yells at me and tells me I'm an idiot and all those sorts of things.
Okay.
That might be a stretch. But we're here for you, Lauren, during losses.
That might be kind of false, like completely.
We did happen to encounter the chairman of the team, Rocky Wirtz, last night at the game. And as the game ended, we had to hold Lauren back because she was going to give him a piece of her mind.
Why are we winning?
I'd like to talk to you about something.
Get Jeremy Colleton on the line.
It was very, oh man! It's just traveling with us to a hockey game is a very, it's a dangerous thing. I would like to actually take a group to watch this,
just document it.
Yes, document.
I'd like to document
civilians.
It and then go back and watch it. Actually, I don't know if I do.
No, that would not be the perfect case. All right, but so he will be joining us coming up in just a few minutes. And then in the top five at five, I should tell you this: in the top five at five, there are going to be some pieces of audio that you are going to want to stay tuned for. For example, there is a car thief that took on a jiu-jitsu black belt.
Not a great idea. Not a good call.
We're going to find out who won.
Okay.
And our favorite quarterback, the only guy who makes me feel better that we have Mitchell Trubisky, Jay Cutler.
Cutty.
Mm-hmm. Can he actually hit a receiver with an axe? That's the question that we answer. Because that being very cavalier or whatever is back on the air now.
I love how we've casually accepted that throwing axes as an event is just totally fine.
My family did that over the holiday.
More and more videos are being posted on social media of like an axe flying back at someone.
People I got a little nervous with my dad because he's got really bad luck. So every time he was up, me and my sister both moved from behind him waiting, you know, because like a bowling ball, sometimes you see people that bring their arm back and it comes flying back.
Yeah.
We were waiting for that with the axe. Luckily, it didn't happen.
And they don't allow drinking at the axe throwing spaces.
Yeah, I wonder why, Kevin.
I know, but everyone's like, I'm like, wait, so you can't drink there, right? And they're like, yeah, but we got drunk before. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's fine. Everyone's just throwing axes.
You know, I've been around the Lapka family. We've all been around the Lapka family a little bit here, right? They like to have a cocktail every once and again.
Sure do.
Were you guys drinking before you went to the axe thing?
Somewhere, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Somewhere.
Only, you know, like one or
two. Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you know what? When we have a little tipsy Lauren Lapka, who then, you know, like when she wanted to give Rocky a piece of her mind last night, when that happens and her having an axe in her hand is probably, that's the stuff of nightmares.
That's when Aria
is what that
comes
is.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. Our private Blackhawk is going to be joining us, and we won't tell him this part of the story either. Let's save that. Connor Murphy joins us right after traffic and weather. Here she is, Lauren Lapka. All right. Here they come. Who are they? They are the. And Connor Murphy is one of those Chicago Blackhawks. And we were at the game last night. And I got to say that this entire team of the Rokan show heard afternoons 3 to 7 on WGN Radio, 720 on your dial, was so impressed with your play. And you gave yourself up last night. You risked your own life to stop a potential goal by the hated, dreaded, feared
and
Calgary
got it out of there.
Flames and got it out of there. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for giving it up.
Thanks. Well, my car 19, first of all.
That's good. You know, we'll do the comedy, Murph. All right, so let's just talk a little bit about it. I mean, it's 4 out of the last 6. Team has won. It played, you know, pretty well last night. Obviously, Dylan Strome going down, and it's unclear how long that's going to last. But you know, it looked like it hurt, right? Because you saw the skate in the replay kind of buckle under his.
Shouldn't bend that way.
Yeah, right. Shouldn't, right? The ankle doesn't go that way. You know, assuming he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, because he's been hot as hell, right? So what's the plan around that?
I don't know. I think it's the same way it's been lately. We've had a lot of guys go down. Unfortunately, a couple being out for the season with Siebes and DeHaan. And kind of just the mentality is just the next guy up has to step in and pull his weight and make sure that everyone knows how important these games are. We talk about where we are in the standings all the times. You look at going into All-Star break in a few weeks. You want to be in a certain spot, just with how the games end up winding down, statistics, and how where you need to be to have a good chance to roll into the playoffs. So we know that we need to get a streak going, and it's not good enough to even have just an okay record. And even like you said, like make sure that we're winning 2 out of 3 games at a time to make sure that we're jumping ahead. And even if guys are out, it's no time to sit around and wait for them to come back. You got to be getting the wins.
Right. Well, that was the philosophy. If you win 2 out of 3, you know, in these, whether you're on the road or you're at home, that gets you in the conversation. That puts you in a position to make a run. And especially the way that the NHL stacks the back part of the season, where there's a lot of clearly within the conference play, but also within the division play. So that really becomes critical to be in a position. And last night, you know, I'm sure when you guys got in the locker room last night, because Calgary, you're just a couple points behind, and they have the second wild card spot. I mean, that's an important win. Now you got to go get that one back somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily, there's a few other teams that lost last night, so it seems like so early, but we're already looking at those things a little bit. But,
yeah, you got it, though, right?
It is frustrating just because we have a few games here in a row. You want to make sure you can win pretty much all of them. So that one was tough last night, the one goal game, really, but. Just as any part of the year, you should move on.
It's a loss last night, Connor, but you guys over the past few weeks have been playing your best hockey of the season. Even Stan Bowman said it before the game. He talked to reporters. You guys had won 7 of 10 going into that 4 or 5. What has been working over the past couple of weeks for you guys?
I don't know. I think things start to click with guys, whether it's scoring. First of all, some guys have gotten hot. You look at Kaner, seems like every game he's scoring or contributing. And like you said, Dylan Strome and a few other guys that have seemed to step up. And then even look at newer, younger guys. You have Boqvist has been scoring a couple lately. And Sakura got his first. And guys like Highmore, Quenneville, and all these players that we've added that seem to be able to give a boost energy to the team. And obviously the goalies have probably been the biggest part all year. I don't think there's really been a down part of the way they played all year. I have Leonard that was playing so well, and obviously Crawford anytime he's into lately has been really good. So those things they need to be all going for us to be getting more wins, and I think that definitely has been a key.
Speaking of the young guys, how impressed are you with how many of them are scoring, especially with so many injuries, a lot of leadership not necessarily in the game right now?
Yeah, it's true. I think they probably see it as an opportunity. Those guys, when everyone's healthy, you probably don't get as many minutes as they'd like. And then now with some guys being out, they're able to play in some bigger roles, guys getting some power play and key face-offs and key minutes of times of game that are really important. And lets them get more of a feel for the puck and into the game action that makes them be able to have an impact. And that's as any player wants to have, to be able to prove yourself that you can be a good player in the NHL.
Yeah. All right. I got a question for you, though, about Dylan Strome. Because right before the holidays, the Hawks, you know, they give away bobbleheads or whatever. That's there is always something when you come in through the gate that it's at least once a homestand, a really cool thing. And so there was a salt and pepper shaker, right? That were given, and one was Dylan Strome, and the other was DePrincat, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So now the question is, so for Christmas, I pulled it out and I thought, I'm going to put this on the table and I'm going to see who can figure this out. I didn't know whether the salt went in to Dylan Strome or the pepper. Do you know which goes which way?
I honestly don't. Don't you? How do you usually tell? By the holes on top of the thing?
I think pepper
has but they have the same amount of holes.
Really?
That's the problem.
Do they?
Yeah. Isn't
they should just stuck with the red butter with the cream.
Right, and then no one...
The salt and pepper shakers, I didn't get it. There's no way I'm going to be looking at Strome and Brinkhouse.
Well, that was my question. Do the players...
I'm trying to eat. I lose my appetite thinking of those guys.
Connor, do the players ever take home the... Because fans go nuts for the giveaways. Like the White Sox yesterday announced their giveaways and people just lose their mind. Like, I got to be there on that date for that bobblehead. Like, last night I took home a Jonathan Toews bobblehead. I put it down in my bobblehead collection. It'll be there. Do you have a Jonathan Toews bobblehead somewhere in your apartment?
No, I don't. They have them... We get lucky and it's one of the perks of the job. They put a few of them in our lounge so you can grab them. So, I mean, there might be some guys, like you said, some fans have it in their schedules. I think some guys might want to make the NHL so they can get these free giveaways year-round. But I didn't grab any, but you'll see guys will. I think no one will admit it, though, either. There'll be some guys that'll like just kind of laugh and say, like, that's how ridiculous it is. And next thing you know, you see they've got their pockets look a little extra stuffed leaving the rink that day. So I don't know who's getting them, but I usually don't have it.
You go to Alex DeBrinkett's apartment, and he's got a Taves and Kane bobblehead situation, right? On his counter.
Yeah,
what's this about, Alex?
Salt and pepper in every room in the bathroom.
Right. Well, I mean, if you have your own, I mean, you know, Strome's probably sending things over the world to family.
Yeah.
I got my own salt and pepper shaker. You know what you should do is you guys should all chip in and you should make bobbleheads and salt and pepper shakers and things like that out of the management. And then
there you go.
Do a video. Right, suck up material. Yeah. So, like, you know, you get
Stan Bowman. Contract extension coming up. Maybe get a bobblehead for Bowman.
Exactly. Hey, I got this.
Remember the Duncan Keith like little gnome like elf thing?
Yes.
And those. So one of our trainers got a bunch of those and like planted them throughout the whole room, like put them in little hiding spots all over our gym and dressing room and everything. So it was almost like an elf on the shelf thing. You'd be like working out. You'd be like laying on the ground doing like some exercise. You look up and see like on one of the sprinkler pipes, he'd be looking down at you from the thing. So guys have a good time with them. Yeah.
That's a violation. Hey, if you were to get one of those things, what would you want?
Of myself?
Yeah, of yourself.
I don't know. I think that you got to do bobblehead because it's classic, but... Yeah. I don't think it's something to brag about when it's the salt and pepper when you're one of the guys that can tell your grandkids that instead of a bobblehead.
Back in my day, I had a salt and pepper shaker made out of my face.
It looks nothing like him either.
Right, it doesn't. Talk about gnomey things. I mean, it's like, once they saw that, the guys were like, they probably got told, hey, you're going to be a salt and pepper shaker. Like, oh, that's cool. And then they saw it, and they're exactly. Like, oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, what am I going to do now?
So I think it's a great idea that it's different. They mix it up, but it is funny. When you're that guy, I think, like I said, you're talking to your grandkids, you'd like to have a bobblehead, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, have fun. I get back at the United Center tomorrow night. So there's, you know, there's time. It's time to, you got to get right back on the ice, shake this one off, and just keep moving. Because, you know, All-Star break's coming up. You guys could take a couple days off and then on to, you know, the real run here to get through it. All right, our own personal Blackhawk, Connor Murphy. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Connor.
Actually, sometimes because he lives right across the river from us.
Yes.
Sometimes we just stare at him in his window while he's doing it. I'm watching you. I hope you don't mind it. I'm watching you. It's weird. Nice bobblehead. All right. We've got a top five at five that will include Jay Cutler in it coming up right after the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yes, indeed. Top five. Five most important things that you should hear today. That's the way we look at it. After you're done with it, I think a lot of people shake their head and go, "That you thought that was the most important thing?" Well, at least
but these ones
fun.
Today especially are very important.
Yes. Yesterday, I should mention, before we get going with the top five, yesterday we were talking about coyotes, right? We had a person who was a coyote expert talking to
Did you have an encounter with a coyote last night?
No, the Channel 5 is reporting that there's a kid who got, how old is the kid, nine? Is that what you said? Five. Five-year-old kid bitten by a coyote in Lincoln Park.
Oh, boy.
Mom, Dad, I got a new pet. It's Mr. Coyote.
Can I pet the dog? Don't pet the dog.
Do not engage with that dog, son.
It's probably the same coyote that they found in Lincoln Park, right? It was in the real fancy neighborhood over there, like the multi-million-dollar homes. The coyote knew what it was doing, right? It's no fool.
All the small dogs.
Number five.
Right, the cute small dogs are all there. And the coyote's like, hey, it's good eating over here. All right, let's, and maybe some mating. You never know, because there's like, you know, the pretty ones. Yeah. And coyotes and dogs have been known to, you know, canoodle.
Fancy food in the alley.
That's how you get a lot of the poodles, canoodling.
All right, President Trump today reiterated his position regarding the Iranian nuclear deal and says that other nations who agreed to it should follow the U.S. lead here and break away from it. President says Iran's aggressions have gotten worse since the deal was signed in 2015.
The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential.
I found today fascinating. These last 24 hours have just been such a study in what happens when major events actually occur and how will the Trump administration respond to them. This, you know, you anticipate, obviously, you had the killing of the Iranian general, right? So everybody agrees was a bad guy, and then the debate was it the right time to kill him, right? Was it the right time to you know, involve yourself in a political assassination? So you go from that then to the Iranians throwing missiles out of Tehran, landing on our assets in Iraq, but nobody getting hurt. So it's almost like the two sides want to, they have to appeal to their domestic interests, but they don't really want to go over the edge. And I thought the president was one of his most measured and presidential today. Except for the entrance. There was a lot of flourish on the entrance where he had the generals all sort of line up in an echelon, and then he came out through the middle.
I was waiting for
Actually,
there was some music. Wasn't there some like drum rolling or something? Trumpets? I feel like there was something. Maybe it was just playing in my head.
Maybe the camera is going. Maybe that's it. It's just in your head.
It made sense.
But, you know, he stayed on the script. And he was, you know, he was strong, but he wasn't deliberately provocative, except a little bit about domestic politics. He did blame the previous administration, blame the Obama administration for the JCPOA, and that, you know, nobody did this before, and, you know, he's having to clean up the mess, which is, you know, part of the politics of this. The president certainly has been, you know, not shy about being political in these moments, but he also did something that I think he sent a message to our allies and to the rest of the world that cooler heads, there can be cooler heads at this White House, and they have prevailed. And that's important, I think, to this. And we'll just have to see what happens here. There were rockets that were launched today in Baghdad. It's unclear who those actors are, though. And are they just trying to create chaos and see these two sides start to, you know, reignite? I don't think it's over yet, but I do think that this was a good day for America. Better day for America than yesterday was, for sure. All right, we'll get to your four, your three, your two, and your one, including, Jay Cutler makes his way back into the top five at five. That's all coming your way. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and the skies?
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
We are in the top five most important pieces of audio we think you should hear today. You might disagree.
Number four.
Several residents of the Lakeview community are pushing to get a big crowd at the police community meeting tonight. Their issue is crime and attacks on the L, especially the red line. Greg Ignatius, who has Parkinson's disease, is recovering from an attack on Friday and vows to keep riding the CTA, but also explains how blatant and aggressive the attackers are.
And it just hit me, and it just whack. And he did it four times in a row in quick succession. And as I'm crumpling down, the escalator is obviously still moving. I didn't get robbed. My collapse was what they didn't expect. Look for anything that seems even the slightest bit strange or out of character.
That's CBS2 talking to that man. And he's right. You got to sort of keep your head on a swivel and look for things that, you know, try to avoid things that look like they're coming at you. Right? I mean, that's the thing, is that
the L stuff is scary. It seems like weekly we're seeing attacks on the L.
I already don't like public transportation because I don't feel safe, but now people really do have a valid reason to not want to take it.
Riders are looking for more security, and others feel as though the crime problem just goes deeper.
I think that with addressing resources, mental health, and other more preventative measures, right? Because I'm all about being proactive rather than reactive.
I try to keep myself safe. But more security would, I'm sure, go a long way.
I would like more visible security, whether it's people in uniform or cameras. I know they're there, but they don't seem to be working when people are doing things.
Well, the cameras are working. The cameras are amazing, but the CTA has. The CTA is one of the most robust camera programs in America for public transportation. And when you get pictures from the CTA, from a train or a bus, where people or a stop, and where people have done the wrong thing, it's so easy to identify who that person is.
Yeah, two girls came forward and admitted they were part of a robbery, I believe, on one of the trains.
Right,
because they saw their picture out there.
Right, because it's so clear.
Yeah.
Right?
You're going to get caught anyways.
Right, and, you know, maybe some adults in their life were able to get to them. And again, and I say adults because a lot of these are being
teens.
Perpetrated by teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. And again, with all due respect to people who, you know, say, well, you know, let's get to the root causes of these sorts of things. That's not going to help tomorrow, right? Someone's going to get hurt tomorrow. Somebody might get thrown down an escalator or robbed or whatever it is. That, you know, if people want to do that and they found an effective way to do it, great. But in the meantime, there does have to be something so people will feel safer about being on the CTA. I mean, let's not be completely foolish about this.
Number three.
A jiu-jitsu professor and second-degree black belt stopped a would-be thief rummaging through his car outside his martial arts studio on the north side. Now, okay, you see, this is where, you know, criminals are dumb. You know, that's the whole thing. So I'm gonna rummage through a car in front of the jiu-jitsu school and see how that goes. Perhaps he thought it was a restaurant. He noticed someone suspiciously standing near a friend's car. Someone alerted this is Idris Redzovic. I hope that I'm pronouncing that right. Because let's face it, the guy knows jiu-jitsu and I don't want to tick him off.
He's on edge right now, too.
Yeah. He alerted Redzovic that the same guy was in his car, and the instructor and another coach quickly ran out of the studio and pulled the suspect inside.
I grabbed him over the shoulder and I threw him out the car. And as I threw him out the car, I made sure I pinned my knee on his chest and controlled his wrist. So if he had any weapons or he tried to hit me, he couldn't do anything to me.
I love how we went to full instructor mode. He's like, all right, so pin the hand on his back. Use your knee. Get him in the neck, in the back of the neck. Then he can't move. He just went into instructor mode and explained how he got the guy.
That was from NBC5. But instead of pressing charges, he decided to use the incident as a teaching moment. That's what he told Channel 9.
I believe positivity, people feed off that. So if I could be that positive influence, maybe it could be a snowball towards a better direction in life. And hopefully he snaps out and he learns from this lesson and never does it again. Because it could have ended 10 times worse if someone else grabbed him, like a game banger or somebody.
Right. Although his neck probably still hurts.
I could have snapped his arm in 17 places, but I didn't.
That's true.
Next time he comes around, hopefully he learned his lesson.
Right. I could kill you with my fingernail. I'm a second-degree black belt, sir.
We're using this as a teaching moment.
Yeah. Listen, that's a Chicago hero right there. Thank you. Thank you. And not only is he a hero, he's a guy that also understands mercy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. That guy not going to become around there no more, I can tell you that. All right, checking in at... Don't tell me.
Number two.
Kristen Cavallari has found the one sport that Jay Cutler isn't a pro at. In a new clip from season 3 of Very Cavallari, returning to your television on Thursday, the Uncommon James boss, that would be her, that's the name of her company, right? Uncommon James?
Mm-hmm.
She sells blue jeans for $1,000 a piece. Right. And woven purses for $500.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That she says that she and her husband went on a double date with Justin Anderson and his boyfriend Scoot.
What a name.
That seems like an insult. This isn't any ordinary double date, as the foursome swung by, were swinging an axe at a throwing range. Kristen wanted proper instruction on how to throw the axe. Jay, however, decided that he just wanted to basically learn himself.
I'm a little concerned, I'm not going to lie.
I don't know about this. Okay, I feel like I'm going to be so bad at this.
Women tend to be better than men.
Really?
Okay. Sexist.
I'm so nervous.
I'll go first.
All right, Jay's gonna go first.
I'll go first. I'll take the pressure off.
Is he gonna kill it? Or?
Probably. He's in all kinds of sports. All right, let's see it,
really?
Jay.
He keeps missing.
Oh.
Just stick on the board. All you gotta do, just stick on the board. Stick on the board.
A lot more energy I've ever seen from him in any Bears game.
Right. He wasn't upset when he overthrew a receiver.
Right.
A
little emotion from Cuddy, too. Give you an idea how much Bears fans have lost their mind over last season or this season. People are like, you know, Cutler's a free agent. I'm like, don't even go there.
Oh, my God.
Don't even go there.
there are people like, you know, Sid Luckman may be dead, but he still might be able to play.
I mean, let's consider Luckman maybe.
Right.
I'm like,
we could unbury him and bring him.
He'll call it a free agent. I'm like, no, don't go there.
Marcus Mariota's available. Well, Marcus Mariota wasn't starting for a reason. All right. Wait, you got to hear this. This is my favorite cut of the week, maybe the month.
Number one.
All right. Now the marijuana is legal in Illinois and specifically in Chicago. Didn't take long for Stephen Colbert to sink his teeth. Here he is talking about he's got a couple of individuals saying the roles of Chicago style bud tenders.
Are you craving some Chicago style marijuana? And come on down to Potillo's on South Pulaski.
Hello, I'm Fat Al.
And I'm Southside Donnie.
Potillo's, where you can get a brat with some pot. Like our char cheddar Polish joints, smothered in cheese and topped with sweetened hot peppers.
Or try a slice of our deep dish kush, a butter crust, 6 inches of cheese and sauce, and some Primo Chronic.
We also have a large selection of water pipes.
Da bongs.
So come on down to Potillo's.
For Chicago style, wacky tabacky, come to Potillo's on South Pulaski.
Hey, don't bogart that dog.
Oh my God,
that's pretty good.
the accent is absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm. Potillo's. I didn't know we said it that way.
Yeah. So you do wonder how the Portillo's people are going to feel about that. I mean, I'm just hoping that it's all working out. I think it's going to be just fine. Everybody is just. I did, and the visual of it is great too because they're just stuffing it in deep dish pizza, and you know that's coming.
Oh, for sure.
You know that the guys over at Giordano's are thinking about this. Hey, wait a second. All right, let's close it up.
The top five at five.
Concho right here on 720 WGN. We got Northwestern basketball coming your way at 5:45. They're taking on the Indiana Hoosiers tonight. That's Big Ten basketball is back.
I can't wait for March Madness. It's one of the best times of the year.
What's Boiler up doing this year, Lauren Lapka?
Well, you know, ever since we lost Edwards, it's not as pretty. But, you know,
have them all. If you think Lauren's upset after a Blackhawks loss, watch her watch a Purdue game that ends in defeat.
Oh, Lauren Lapka.
Well, because there's real pride there, being an alum. Yeah. And then there's a lot of other Big Ten schools that have some really mean alum.
Yes.
That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah, okay. And then there's just boosters or, you know, fans of those schools that she can't stand talking to, like me. It's the Ohio State University is the top 10 team right now.
It's accurate.
NCAA. I think number 5 last time I checked. Anyway, this is not why I called. Speaking of that, for 2020, I love this story in the Associated Press. For 2020, let's leave behind the humble brag.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I think it is time now to call out the humble brag every time. I have a tendency to do that, call out the humble brag. I also have a tendency to humble brag just to be ironic about the humble brag.
Do we have an example?
I don't really humble brag all that often, so I wouldn't really have an example.
Thank you. Thank you. That was perfect.
There you go.
Yes, but the...
I, for one, am not a humble bragger.
Yeah, so Dylan Strome called me last night from the hospital. Said he wanted me to come over and make sure his ankle's okay.
Big deal.
I personally choose not to eat meat, but I don't judge others that do.
Or when we come into the studio the day after we went to a Blackhawks game. Yeah, we were hanging out with Rocky Wirtz last night.
We just ran into him in the concourse. That was the only thing. And we had to hold Lauren back from trying to kill him. That's the only thing that just happened. Okay, and other things that they want to get rid of now that it's 2020. Just start fresh.
Classic new year, new you situation.
Right. Wearing two timepieces. We should stop that. Now, I'm guilty of this because I wear a Fitbit and a watch.
Oh.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
Yeah, on either. And what's really funny, though, is I have found it to be incredibly convenient if I'm carrying something. Because if I want to look at my watch while I'm holding a cup of coffee, I'm able to do it.
Wow.
This is really an American problem.
Yeah.
I pray to God that in Somalia now they're not listening to this radio show. Right? because they're eating sand, and then they're gonna, and this guy's got two watches on, and when he's carrying his $5 cup of coffee that he just got from Starbucks, he can't decide which hand he's going to keep it in and which hand he's actually going to look at the time on.
And clarify, the one watch is a Rolex.
Oh,
let's add that to the mix.
Why would you say something?
Because
like
it
that?
Adds context to the story.
Yep. No big deal. Okay. It's a Rolex.
I mean, God forbid you put down that coffee.
Sorry, my Rolex got in the way. That's a good humble break.
See, right? I mean, that's the thing. Boomer backlash.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah. Now this is a thing, and I get this because I am on the cusp of boomer to Gen X. So I always like to tilt toward the Gen X anyway, because I sometimes get sick and tired of the boomers too, because boomers are up to 80 years old now, right?
Yeah, what's the youngest boomer?
My age, or no, a year older than me, 56.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Let's not talk about it. And then the 55 down to 35, I guess, right, is Gen X, and then
the rest are avocado toast eating millennials.
Yes, and then the next generation,
Gen Z,
mm-hmm. Right? Not related to the woman you hear in the podcast here at WGN Radio. And that's, but it is really interesting because you know the boomers have they have boomeranged their own way here. Right, because mm-hmm. the boomers, they were like peace and love and no war, and the next thing you know,
they're blaming everything on millennials.
Yes,
and Gen Zs.
Right. Yeah, heck, in my day, we worked. No, you didn't really work. Your parents worked. I mean, let's just face it. Your parents saved the world from a fascist annihilation. And what are you doing?
They tell us how they work their way through college. I'm like, get me a $35,000 summer job, mm-hmm. and I'll work my way through college.
College was $100 right. a class.
And a
right
book was
Harvard.
50 cents. Right. Oh, here's a textbook you must have, and it's $150 for the semester. Congratulations. I do find it interesting, though, because everything now is so, like, you know, everybody butts heads about everything. Has it always been generational, like, warfare, where, like, now it's, like, boomers and millennials, battling.
All right, so boomers, the greatest generation, right? It's the generation before the boomers, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so boomers, when, you know, in the 1960s and 70s, they were like, you know, those are the people almost ruined the world, right? And now we look back, and all the other generations, except for the boomers now they embrace their parents because they also, you know, have to be on Lipitor. So that's like they kind of relate now. And because their parents weren't on Lipitor, they died when they were 48, right? So it's like it's just too much because you're right. Everybody has to be in conflict with everybody else. And I fully don't understand. And then finally, influencers. I am up to here with the influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Because social media influencer
who's like, you know, gets all the swag, right? Mm-hmm. And then goes on and takes pictures of themselves taking care of the swag that's free, which, by the way, in our business is illegal if we did that.
Yeah, we would never take anything free from anyone.
Yes, but we would actually, we would, but we'd have to put it in the log. That's the only difference. But my point is that they're, and then they just take a picture of themselves.
Yeah.
While they're doing it.
Yep. And get lots of money and lots of followers, and they honestly think that they're making the world a better place.
With duck lips. And I don't even understand how that has anything to do with anything.
Classic Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, oh, look at me. I'm drinking Chandon champagne. It's the finest. And you're like, what are you doing? First of all, it's not champagne. A. Number two, what happened to your lips? What happened? And why are your eyes three times the size of a normal human eye?
What?
You know, the people that use that filter that makes their eyes like, you know, their eyes look
big
like
marbles.
Yes. Like all of a sudden you look on Instagram and there are people on Instagram that look like aliens. Right? It's like, oh my God, if E.T. really did come back, he'd fall in love with you.
Oh God,
Kardashian, whichever one you are that just did that. Or Jenner or whatever those people are.
I could do away with them for 2020.
Yes, I know, but it's too late now.
I think it is too late. They're an industry on their own.
Let me just tell you something. You think I'm crazy right now, but I promise you that somebody out of the Kardashian world, somebody that we met through the Kardashians, is going to be president of the United States.
Kanye.
In the 2030s. I promise you that. It could be Kanye. I mean, that's a crazy, crazier things have happened. So here you go. It could be. You know who I think it might be? It would be Kim after she gets her law degree, you know, and then she becomes like, she'll end up being like the Nancy Pelosi. She'll become a congresswoman and then she'll become a senator and then she'll end up becoming president of the United States. You think it's crazy? It's not really crazy. All right. We got Northwestern basketball on the air. We're back with you tomorrow afternoon at 3:00. Have a good night.